Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. The word would be presented in English. I don't know what I just
presented.
Said. Presented. Presented by Progressive Insurance.
Say that five times fast.
A lot of comebacks.
Don't try it. Don't try it.
Last night, a couple comebacks in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
I'm salty.
Why are you salty?
Because I have two Tom Ford suits on the line with Stephen A. Smith. He lost a bet to me earlier this year about the Knicks making the playoffs, which it was way off. That was a win for me. Easy layup. And then I tried to double down and say that I thought Memphis was going to beat Golden State for two Tom Ford suits. So obviously I'm not trending in the right direction this morning.
Nah, man. Nah, but maybe if they had Ja, like Key, maybe it's an oversimplification. I know it doesn't work this way, but if you barely lose by the skin of your teeth and you don't have your best player, I'm going to go ahead and say, especially if it's a dude like Ja, if you have Ja, you win the game.
Well, you lost the first game in Oakland or San Francisco, and you had Ja.
Yeah, so but it wasn't that same kind of game.
Actually, did you not lose it, you got run out of the building. And you were getting run out of the building prior to losing Ja, and he still balled out to a degree. So, I don't know. Jay, you getting two suits.
Well, I'm not getting two suits and because this series is over.
So, it was double or nothing, right?
Yeah, it was double. But this series is over. And for me, I'm frustrated because Memphis gave the game away. Steve Kerr, 2 hours before the game, gets a COVID positive. He is out. Mike Brown, who just accepted a job as a Sacramento Kings head coach, is now coaching this team. You have Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson combined for 35% shooting from the field, 19% from the three-point line. Jordan Poole, 4 of 12 for only 14 points. They were giving the game to Memphis to take. You're up 12 in the fourth quarter. I know there is no Ja Morant, but your whole thing this year has been about how good you are without Ja Morant. What, 22-1? Everybody was making that the case.
20-5.
For why they weren't, why Ja Morant wasn't going to win MVP, because this team was good without them. So my thing is, when you're coming down the stretch, Dylan Brooks, I need you to be better down the stretch. Jaren Jackson, I need you to be better down the stretch. I know there was no Ja Morant, but essentially, and I know that Steph Curry made 9 free throws down the stretch. You know, he was clutch, made shots. But the Grizzlies gave that game away. That's the thing that's frustrating about this for a young team. They had it and they gave it away.
Speaking. Well, you just said young, right? And so when you got a young team, Jay, that experience goes a long ways. As I said from the top of this whole thing, is that experience. If they had the experience, then you wouldn't sit up. We wouldn't sit up here and think about Ja being gone.
Yeah, listen, you got to learn how to win on the road. That's part of the maturation of a team. It's why young teams normally don't win championships. But speaking of Steph Curry, Jay, you brought him up. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's Steph on what he figured out in the fourth quarter.
Just understand we've been here before. You know, whether we won or lost, the intentions of how we could give ourselves a chance in the fourth quarter was all, you know, all we focused on, and then we got it done.
Experience.
I'm going to go ahead and say this, man. Golden State might be the best passing team in NBA history. It's the key, the continuity in which they run. I don't know if you've ever played pickup basketball, like at a 24-hour fitness or a YMCA, and you play against that team. Like, you're getting out there, you stretch, you're all ready to go, and you're playing against these five dudes, and all they do is just move around. You're like, yo, stop moving. Stop cutting. Stop backdoor cutting. Stop hitting me with fade screens. Stop hitting me with slips on screens. That's all they do.
Because they know they're going to get the ball if they move.
And like the way they pass, even though they had an off game, they still found a way to win. And Steph Curry came through in the stretch. I mean, 18 points in the fourth quarter.
Is there something?
18 points in the fourth quarter.
Is there something about the fact that we're in an era where the primary ball handler is so ball dominant? Luka, James Harden, guys like that. And we complain sometimes guys get cold. That by having a guy like Steph, who's really a two-guard dressed up as a one, right, where the ball never sticks, because he's not really a normal kind of point guard, that actually increases what you just said. It leads to that kind of environment because your best player is not monopolizing the ball?
Yes, and also the amount of shooters they have on the team. So after a couple of times, what happens to the defense? You just saw a couple of clips where Dylan Brooks got backdoored, right? Another player got backdoored. And when you start getting layups, it opens up the perimeter for three-point shots now. Because now you're worried about being backdoor cut, so you play on the inside. That's when they hit you with these down screens, and they pop up for threes. That's how they get the whole offense going. And you also have Draymond Green, who directs everything on the court. He's a gifted passer with awareness. So you combine all that. That's why I think their upside is a world championship team.
Yeah, no, they certainly, in my opinion, are the best team left in the playoffs if they hitting on all cylinders. And I know they got the bigs, you know, on the East with Giannis and Embiid for the most part on the East side of the things. But much like you just described, Jay, when you spreading the floor like that in screens and cutting, and everybody's willing to be passers and move that thing around and no one's just standing still watching, you're going to have literally all five guys on the floor can shoot. Even though Draymond's shooting is a little weird looking, he still can knock them down every now and then. So you got to worry about that on top of Poole, on top of Clay.
And Draymond
on top
got
of
a
Steph.
Lot of time to shoot.
I mean, it's like ridiculous.
Well, Draymond got a lot of time to shoot because of Steph's. He shoots from such a distance. Rotations, it takes longer to get over and cover guys.
Memphis gave the game away. Golden State played like poop, Ron Burgundy, and they won the game.
But could it be such a thing, Jay, that Golden State took the game? Even though they played like poop?
Key, that was exactly my point. It was like, they played horribly, and they still found a way to win the game down the stretch, right? So most people are going to say, well, they can't play that way against Golden State. But you can also make the case that sometimes you have to learn how to win games ugly. And for Memphis, you're sitting there saying, all right, if Ja was on the court, maybe you have a chance to win that game that you're up the whole time. But you're also looking at Golden State saying, you found a way to muck it up, and you found a way to get a win to put the series up 3-1.
What if Mike Brown would have lost the game? You think he could have fired against Sacramento?
No, he's fired.
Sacramento would have fired him. Hey, you're out.
That would be kind of like Sacramento to somehow make a mess. You know, it occurs to me that another team where you could say that about, and it's very different style of play, I get it, but where you had a point guard who wasn't exactly a point guard, and then also a point forward who was smart and could run your offense, were the Chicago Bulls dynasty, where you usually really had a shooting type of point guard who didn't monopolize the ball at all because he was playing next to Jordan. And then Scottie Pippen was your point forward. And those were the two, like, dominant teams,
great
right?
Point.
Yeah.
And they played the triangle because it couldn't allow the defense to double up on MJ. It kept continuity on the floor, trust me, because I ran that system for a full year.
I can imagine.
And for every cut or every pass, there's a different cut. For every one, Key. So you can have six or seven different passes. There's a different cut for every pass. So what it does is it always keeps the defense on their heels, and it makes them react. And that's what the continuity system for Golden State does, the same thing.
Yeah. Now what that team had was a guy who could take over when it mattered most, and when Steph can do that, we have seen him do it, then it becomes, if Steph had always done, it'd be totally impossible. It's damn near impossible as it is with them. But when he becomes that guy where it's like, and if things aren't going just right, take that and take that, then Golden State is firing on all cylinders.
And Keith, think about what that does to the other team on the offensive end. So if you have to come down and defend the continuity, you got to stay down in the stance. You got to hit, backdoor, I got to deny passing lanes. Oh, we got to run through the screen. You got to constantly communicate.
Offense is tired.
You get up to offense, you're like, damn, I'm tired. Like, if you have to do that cumulatively throughout the entire course of a game, by the time you get to the fourth quarter, you barely have any legs left to compete on the offensive end.
Straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. A stare that made it a contest.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Key, you find your charger yet?
Actually, I did look for it a little while ago. I didn't find it. and I'm not very happy because my battery is going to be all the way down here soon. It's just going to drain. Zoom drains my phone, and I charge it up while I'm on the Zoom on the phone while I'm looking at Evan and his mug, but now I'm going to be drained.
Wait,
and I don't like it.
He can't leave your printer.
Charger overnight at a random studio. That's your fault.
My charger's been here since December.
And, well, it's not there anymore.
It's not a random studio.
And it's not a random studio. It's an ESPN damn studio.
It's a studio in which hundreds of people come through every day.
But he uses the same spot every single damn day
underneath the desk, plugged in with everything else. Nobody asked nobody to bother my charger.
The same thing I go through at home with my kids.
When I tell them, we got a million damn chargers in the drawer. Yeah. Stop taking mine.
Yeah,
you go take some. Go. We got chargers everywhere. Why are you bothering mine?
Or if you take it, just put it back where you found
it. Nobody's putting it. You can use it.
Just put it back. If I had a charger plugged in, you can take it. You can use it. I get it. Everyone gets desperate for a charge sometimes. Just put it back.
No, if I'm taking it, I'm taking it.
Why?
I'm not going to put it back.
Yeah, but Jay, it's not yours to take.
I'm with Jay. If you take it once, just run with it. Yeah.
Why? That's... You can use it that way, and it's all on the up and up.
What
Why would
I
you
want to take it back home? Then I have to First of all, you're stealing somebody else's charger.
If you're taking someone else's belongings from the place that they were at, that is called stealing.
It's a work commonplace. What if the company pays for it?
Okay, I guess if that's what it says in the manual, I don't read the manuals like that. So,
I figured out another issue we got.
He also
has no printer, and he's relying on his phone, which is going to die for everything. So, like...
This is going to be interesting.
This could get awkward around 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Listen, Key, you know what you got to do, and this is how it all probably starts. It's like a parking space. One guy parks into halfway into the next space. Now you have to do the same thing. Now he leaves, and you're the jerk parked in two spaces, right, Key?
I'm the guy that's going to put the note on the car and go find another parking space.
Well, you got it, but I'm saying, you got to right now do the equivalent of the same thing. You got to find someone's charger. You got to take it and use it for the show. And then you can put it back when you're done.
Or if you just have your charger, you take it, you unplug it, you wrap it up, and put it in your bag, and take it home.
Max.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be prowling and hanging out, looking in people's drawers.
They're turning you into like a peeping Tom.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
What are your options?
I have no values when it comes to chargers. I'm taking it.
But you think, see, but if it starts at chargers, it doesn't stop there, Jay.
Now I got to watch my stuff around, Jay. Really?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
We're all focused, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. We were all focused on how Jason Tatum would respond to being sunned by Giannis in Game 3. Like, one dude winds up with 42, you wind up with 10 in a loss. Like, that's a bad look. But look who showed. And Tatum did respond in important ways. But Al Horford, guys, Al Horford, to me, when Steph and Draymond were reinventing basketball, to me, you started to look around the league for guys who could do kind of – who could be the prototypical modern guy the way Draymond showed you. Horford, to me, was always one of those guys. Like, he could do everything you need him to do in a modern offense and defense. But sometimes it felt like just assert yourself a little more in the big moment, Al. You know? Oh, he asserted himself last night, guys. Jay, he asserted himself last night.
I mean, him and Tatum combined for 28 points in the fourth quarter on 92% shooting from the field. Think about what I just said. 92% shooting from the field. And those two combined for 28 points. So Jason Tatum wasn't playing well most of the game. Al Horford literally carried this team and put them in a position for Jason Tatum to do his work down the stretch, right? And sometimes it happens in the game. Giannis last night was barking. We're going to get into Coach Bud. And it felt like this team really missed Chris Middleton last night because their offense was everybody stand around and watch Giannis play. But Giannis barking at Al Horford literally woke Horford up for him to explode for a playoff high in 30 points in this game and open up the floor offensively. That allowed Jason Tatum to go to work down the stretch.
So what lit the fire under Horford? He's always a good player. But what made him kick it into that next gear? Here is Al Horford after the game.
Yeah, I don't really know what he said to me, but the way he was looking at me and the way that he was going about it really didn't sit well with me. And at that point, I think just something switched with me and then in the game.
He is referring to the fact that Giannis dunked on him and screamed on him, Key.
Yeah, if he needed that to get going, then he might want to set himself up to be in that position again next game where he gets dunked on, if that's what motivated him to go out there and have a great game that I hadn't seen in Lord knows how long. I mean, I actually thought he forgot. I forgot he was even playing for the Celtics. So when you look at it, though, Giannis, if you could somehow neutralize Giannis and do some of the same things that Horford was able to do, we've seen it in the past where the other big on another team figures out how to get his money and score at a different level. Even though Giannis had a decent game, so to speak, 18 boards. I think he had about 35 points or so there. You're able to combat that, and I think Tatum and Horford was able to combat that, and now that becomes an eraser. But that means that now Milwaukee has to have a second or a third guy step up, or a second guy and then a little bit of a third guy, and that wasn't something that they were able to get done in yesterday's game.
Yeah, you mentioned Middleton, Jay, but I have a question for you. It's almost like a philosophical question about playing basketball. And you, as a scoring point guard, are in a good position to answer this, I think. Basketball, to me, seems to be one of these – it's a situation a lot of times, especially in the playoffs, where a player who always makes the perfect basketball play is not always who you want. Like Al Horford, to me, throughout his career, a lot of times you go, oh, he plays the right way. Both ends of the floor, plays the right way. But what I mentioned, sometimes it's like, but he's good enough to take over sometimes, and he doesn't do it. And he had that little spark lit under him, right? And then he did it. And I know that you got into it with Coach K, right? Because at times he wanted you to, pardon, he wanted you to assert yourself in a certain way, unless I'm misspeaking, right? Unless I'm a misunderstanding. So how do you do that in a situation where you're Al Horford, you're on a team that plays as a team, as a unit, you have a certain role, you do it very well. How do you know when to, you know what, let me not be perfect. Let me be better,
Max,
than that right now.
You're not misspeaking. He tried to fight Coach K.
Right, right. But it was
so
over
what?
Him telling
I
you.
Did.
It was over him telling you what?
But see, it doesn't have to be something that is predetermined, Max. Sometimes when you play a sport or you're just going through life in general, something happens that triggers you to get you outside of yourself. So for the most part, this is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's team. Right after that, you can go to Marcus Smart. Grant Williams has made huge strides.
Didn't play last
Robert
night,
Williams, you know, obviously didn't play last night, but huge strides. Right. So for Al Horford, he's a Grizzly vet. He's the guy that, oh, you got me to this place. Great. Let me explode. And that's what he gave you last night. But last night was something I saw that was interesting, and I've seen it a couple times with the Bucks. There are moments in games where watching Giannis and the offense that Coach Bud has him in reminds me a lot of James Harden, Luka Doncic, where it is they are dribbling the ball, they are initiating the offense, and everybody stands around and waits for them to create something. And that's fine when you're going through the first three quarters of a ball game. And I get that they're playing without Chris Middleton. But when you're coming down the stretch, you need to give me a variety of other sets that can then enhance other players to do more. So Drew Holiday didn't have a great game last night. You know, Pat Connaughton didn't have a great game. Grace Snell didn't make a lot of shots. But you need to give the offense different looks because it became very one-dimensional where everybody knew where you were going. And this is what people were talking about last year, even though when they were on their run to win a world championship, there were a lot of experts that were questioning sometimes the offensive scheming of Coach Bud. And I think, granted, they're playing without Chris Middleton. But this is what it is. So I think moving forward, you have to find different little options off those schemes offensively so they don't become one-dimensional.
Yeah, it's almost like a running quarterback. Like guys like Harden, Doncic, and Giannis, it's like a quarterback who can run. The incentives short-term are always, well, pick up the first down if you can. But you also want him to learn how to develop in the pocket for your long-term. A lot of times in life, you'll see short-term incentives are at odds with your long-term interest, right?
Yeah.
So guys, well, Giannis can just do this. But if you keep doing that, then in the moment of truth, sometimes there's an answer for that and other things aren't developed well enough. I thought Budenholzer was really good last year in terms of not doing that during the regular season. So the regular season record wasn't as good, but they were more prepared for the playoffs than they had been in the past.
But think about it. Even Giannis just getting the ball and dribbling the ball up the court, like kick the ball ahead, play a little bit faster. When is Dallas at their best? When Jalen Brunson or Spencer Dinwiddie start getting off early, then Luka comes in late. Like, when is Philly at their best? When Joel Embiid or Tobias Harris, guys are knocking down shots, then it opens up for James to go to work down the stretch. It can't be Giannis all the time. He needs those second, third components to help out.
Can Justin Fields be in the worst position among second-year quarterbacks? And an MVP candidate?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. You can download the podcast. You can watch us on TV on ESPN, too.
Look at that, Key. Look at the sun over the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, yeah, beautiful day. Woo, in New York
it's
today.
Springtime, baby. Finally. I feel like we're on the verge. We're
enjoy
here.
It for a couple weeks.
Yeah. No, it's summer, man. Then it's going to be really hot.
Then it's going to be scorching.
It's scorching hot.
Enjoy it for a couple weeks.
New York has perfect weather 6 weeks a year. 3 weeks in the spring, 3 weeks in the fall, and the rest of it's either freezing cold or burning hot.
Enjoy it.
Like L.A., Key. Just like L.A.
You should have on flip-flops right now, shorts and a T-shirt, very thin. You know,
that's how you guys should look. So we're getting closer and closer to the Key and Jay versus Bart and Han 2-on-2 game. It's June 1st. There is a
right around
set.
The corner.
We found someone who covered Jay Will when Jay was in the NBA. Here is David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood from Cap and Jay Hood on what they expect from Jay in his return to the hardwood.
Hey, this is Cap and Jay Hood from ESPN 1000.
Williams into Johnson. Johnson slams the ball. Williams with a great pass to Johnson, and it's 2-0. That might happen a lot in this matchup we're talking about.
Yeah, not a shock that Bart Scott gets dominated by Keyshawn Johnson. Key is the man. And then Alan Hahn, dude, you got no shot against our guy, Jay Will, who is the best freaking player on the court.
Well, he is Chicago's own, Jay Will, I get that. But Alan Hahn, I will give him an opportunity, and I believe he can get the job done, but it's very paramount that he knocks down the jumper. Can he knock down the jumper? That's the key to all of this.
Well, if he doesn't, Bart Scott's got no chance of out-rebounding Keyshawn Johnson. That's an easy seal, rebound, and a stick back.
Yeah, but what about Bart, man? He was a strong defensive player, man. He's one of the all-time greats.
He never had to guard a guy like Keyshawn Johnson, who's a beast.
I don't know, man. I think it could be really close, but I'm going to give the nod to Keyshawn and Jay Will. I think that Jay Will jumper is going to be... It's going to be wet, man. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm going to go Keyshawn and Jay Will like Secretariat at the Belmont, baby. Blowout City.
Key, have you been getting jumpers up?
No.
Have we started the training? Anything at all? Any cardio?
Oh, boy.
Nothing? Are we going to do any cardio? Are we going to do any kind of training?
Yeah,
on
June 1st.
The day of the game.
Cap. Welcome, David Kaplan, co-host of
What's
Cap
up,
and Jay Hood
gentlemen?
On ESPN 1000.
What's up, Cap?
What's going on? It's quite a video you guys put together there, Cap.
We had a good time doing that. I remember Jay at Duke. I remember sitting in the stands for a game at Duke, and then we got that dude, and some drunken Jay Will stumbling by my sat outside Wrigley, and we become lifelong friends.
Exactly, Cap. And you got me to give you all the dirt on the Bulls organization after I was like, how many Smirnoffs in? Not a good day for me.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah. Rookie
mistakes.
So, yep. Cap, the real reason we have you on right now is we take you when we can get you, of course. But Dan Orlovsky had something to say yesterday we'd love for you to respond to. Here is Dan on why Justin Fields could be the worst second-year quarterback of all the first-round picks from 2021 in 2022.
I don't believe he has a number one or a number two wide receiver. Now, Mooney's a good player. I don't believe Mooney's elevated himself to be a number two wideout. Like, my expectations for his performance level in the totality are probably the least out of all the six second-year quarterbacks that we have going into this season.
What do you think, Cap?
Okay, so I love Dan Orlovsky. Like, I'm a big Dan Orlovsky guy. Justin Fields will not be the worst of the six. Now, he'll be on arguably the worst team, so that could affect his performance. But this dude's work ethic, this dude's aptitude, his abilities, he's going to be a solid player. He just doesn't have enough around him. But does Davis Mills have a lot around him in Houston? I mean, stop yourself, Dan Orlovsky. Look, I think that this guy is our future here. I think he's going to be a really good franchise quarterback. I just think the Bears suck right now. And I'm saying that where it's okay. They've embraced a lane. You pick a lane, you let Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack and all these dudes walk out the door, Allen Robinson. So if that's the lane, then let's be epically bad so that next year people are calling up, hey, you want to trade that pick because your quarterback's pretty good. And the quarterbacks on this class coming, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, we don't need one of them. So we get a bunch of picks. We'll have the most cap space in the NFL in 12 months, $150 million. Mm-hmm. The Bears in 2023, you better be buying stock.
You know, Cap, I ranked the top six second-year quarterbacks, and I had Justin Fields as number two behind Trevor Lawrence. Much to like you said, he won't be statistically the best quarterback because he's probably just not going to be. They don't have anything. But just his pure presence, his athletic ability, his ability to play the position and grow, you will certainly see strides and differences from where they were a year ago. And even into week 8, 9, 10 of this year, you're going to see a different football player. So I felt like, okay, I can't look at it from a statistical standpoint. I got to look at it from a where is he going to be in 2022, in 2024, 2023? Like, how is he going to continue to grow? That's what I like to look at. I don't care about the statistical side of things.
That's despite you not doing any cardio, which I don't think is a smart move, you are a highly intelligent football man. You are correct. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to have a really good year. And I think Justin Fields, not based on numbers because the team's no good right now, based on what Adam Schefter likes to say. Two sources, your right eye and your left eye. It's going to tell you, wow, that dude looks a whole lot better than he did when they were here a year ago. So I'm with you, Key.
All right, Cap. I'm glad that you disagree with Dan Orlovsky on the first point. Now I want you to hear what Dan had to say about what a good season for Fields would be with everything around him could mean. Check this out.
For us to expect for this young quarterback to come in and play really well this year, you're kidding yourselves. It's not going to happen. And if Justin Fields does, if Justin Fields plays really well this year, he will be in the MVP conversation because of what he has been given to play with.
Cap.
Well, Zett, supposedly, did you tell him before the question, imagine it's 2024. Is that what the question was?
The question.
Or is he honestly saying if he has a good year, he'd be in the MVP discussion this year? Because if so,
yes.
I want some of what he's drinking.
Well, Cap,
he's got no chance.
But
no
Cap,
chance
I think he's saying,
based
on everything you just said about the roster, though, right, and where they are in the stage of development, I think the point is that he would get consideration if they are like, if you win 10 or 11 games in Chicago, that means that Justin Fields has to be playing out of his mind, right? Like, or, because just look at the roster. So not that he'd win it, but he'd get consideration if somehow, we just don't believe that'll happen, they're a double-digit win team or something like that. Is that so far off?
I guess. I mean, I don't see a scenario where they're winning 10 and 11 games. I mean, is Keyshawn rolling the hands of time back to 1996? And is the Bear offensive line all of a sudden going to figure out that they've got Anthony Munoz and four other All-Pro Hall of Famers? I don't know who's blocking for the man. I don't know who he's throwing to. I mean, you know, we have these delusional fans here that call in yesterday, Equanimeous St. Brown. He played with Aaron Rodgers. He had zero touchdowns.
But I think that's – I mean, listen.
And Adams was on the other side.
Cap,
I'm
loath to defend Dan, right? But I think that is his point. He's like, you cannot expect this team to be good. If there is a world in which they are good, it's because Justin Fields went crazy, and he'd have to be MVP level in order for them to get there, I think was his point. I think, but it was Monday morning, Dan, so maybe it was even more outrageous than that. It's hard to say sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we wake up and go, oh, my goodness, you guys are having me on going, how did the Bears win 11 football games? Yeah, that Justin Fields would have to be the MVP because it ain't coming from anybody else there.
No, that, mm-hmm. You know, but here's what I would say, Cap. If he could be a leader, a young leader like I think he could be, he could certainly, I don't know about the 10, 11 wins and all that sort of stuff, but he certainly can make you see some stuff with his play that'll make you think the future is extremely bright for Chicago. I don't know about the 10, 11
agreed.
Wins, but, you know, he can make you feel
there.
A certain way.
Yeah, completely agree with you, Keyshawn. Yes, I think you're going to watch this guy this year and go, oh, now I see why they traded up. If Ryan Pace, the old GM, doesn't make that trade a year ago, I don't know where the heck the Bears are at because I think Justin Fields would have gone number one in this draft.
Cap, something we were talking about yesterday was the lack of star power that people wanted to see Chicago go for in the draft. Ryan Poles obviously making some decisions on the defensive end of the ball. What kind of a grade would you give the Bears after the draft?
I'm one of those guys, Jay. I don't think you can – I hate the grades. I mean, if all these dudes are giving out grades, we're so smart, how come they're not running an NFL team? None of them have worked in the league. So I don't give out grades. I think he got two starters in the defensive secondary, and our secondary is awful. So if he got two starters that are going to be there long term, and Jalen Johnson's 23 at the other corner – and Eddie Jackson's got a clean slate, and he was an All-Pro. I mean, now all of a sudden you go, oh, that might be the strongest room that the Bears have up at Halas Hall. Mm. So I have no problem. I was taught a long time ago, you take the best player on the board, period. And if that's the way you embrace that philosophy, you're going to be really, really good. Because if you reach and go, I need to get a wide receiver. He's nowhere near as good as the safety or the corner, but I'm going to take the receiver anyway. And then in 2 years, the safety or the corner is in the Pro Bowl, and you're like, son of a, we should have taken that guy. That's right. You should have taken that guy.
Yeah, I feel like you just threw a shot at me when you talked about giving grades after the draft, because I gave grades after the draft. But that's okay, Cap.
you're excused because you actually played.
Well, you're not done doing lists and giving grades. Keyshawn, J. Will, the Max is brought to you by the Ultimate Fighter. The road to the rematch is on as bantamweight champion Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. Okay, and that was the great David Kaplan, co-host of Jay Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. And this is the great Keyshawn Johnson. Cap just took a shot at your what'd you say, at your grades or your lists? Well, here comes another Keyshawn list. If Justin Fields is not an MVP candidate, Key, who is? Let's hear your top five MVP candidates
for 2022. Well, this is my spring top five MVP candidates. I got to leave my wiggle. Yeah, I got to leave some max wiggle room just in case it gets, you know, get myself
keep
out of it
90.
Later on.
Keep it 90. Leave yourself some wiggle room.
Sitting at five, I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor, running back in the Indianapolis Colts. When you look at Jonathan Taylor's ability to run between the tackles and lead the charge, now he has a great quarterback in Matt Ryan, unlike Carson Wentz. They will lean heavy on the running game to protect Matt Ryan. I see him as number five on my list.
Number four.
He ain't going to never not be on the list, right, sitting at four, Tom Brady. It's just, what are you going to do? You're going to leave Tom Brady off the list? You got to be a damn fool to do such a thing, even though he retired and retired again, came back again. He's going to have a phenomenal year, despite not yet having his tied in Gronkowski signed on for the 2022 season.
Number three,
James is going to hate me for this one, but I got Patrick Mahomes sitting at number three. He wanted to be number one and one only for Patrick Mahomes. Not the case. He's going to miss Tyreek Hill to some degree, but he's still going to put up huge numbers. The offense will look a little bit different with the guys in MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster along the way. I still think he'll have an MVP-type season. If he wins it, it will be because he just completely shredded the National Football League.
Number two.
Same sort of thing for Aaron Rodgers sitting at number two. You say, well, how could you have Patrick Mahomes behind Aaron Rodgers? He doesn't have Devontae Adams. I believe that's okay because it all goes through 12. 12, to all intents and purposes, have made so many receivers out of Green Bay, no-name guys, so to speak, guys that change positions like Randall Cobb, second-round picks, third-round picks, fourth-round picks. All we see year in and year out is him putting up huge numbers. And if, in fact, he takes Green Bay back to another NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl with this receiving core, he'll win the MVP.
Number one.
Josh Allen, number one in Buffalo. So no one circles the wagon quite like the Buffalo Bills. As you can tell, everybody's gotten paid. They now got Von Miller to shore up the defensive side of the ball. But Josh Allen is coming to his own. I know Brian Daboll will be a big part of that when he left and went to the New York Giants, but Ken Dorsey, a lot of people are telling me don't count him out, so I'm going to listen to those people. In the springtime, as of right now, Josh Allen is headed in the right direction in terms of helping the Buffalo Bills accomplish something that they hadn't accomplished in a very long Jim Kelly way, is getting back to the Super Bowl.
Key's Real Rankings are brought to you by Dell for your small business needs. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Key, there is one glaring omission on your list.
Yes, who would that be?
You know who I'm going to say.
Oh,
which
God. Joe Burrow.
No, not Joe Burrow.
It's Justin Herbert.
Let me tell you why it's Justin Herbert.
By the way,
it's obviously Herbert. Key, I'll tell you why. Because Justin Herbert is, first of all, he's just the kind of quarterback you like. A tall drink of water, that guy. Tall, fast, big arm, accurate, the whole thing. He's maybe the best in the league on third down and fourth down. They got him protection on the O-line. They got him defensive players. He's got guys to throw the ball to. I mean, like, they're set up for success, and the dude got better his second season after he was absurdly good his rookie year. Key, I think, now look, any team in that division wind up fourth, right? It's a very competitive division. But I think they have a good chance to win a lot of games and Herbert to ball out.
No question they have a great opportunity to win a lot of games. He is money all day long. But, Max, it's only five on the list, man. And when you talk about Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and then I throw in a Jonathan Taylor, which I don't want to make this all about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I slid Jonathan Taylor in there.
Token running back.
A glimpse of a hope.
Yeah.
I understand that Justin Herbert is a sexy situation for you. I get it. Joe Burrow. Now, mind you, this is a spring. This is not the fall. We're just talking about
right now. Yes, this is spring. I forgot.
Because things may change as we get to the fall. There's a June 1st cut dates. There's all sorts of things that can happen along the way in training camp. And then it changes. I'm like Vegas, man. It shifts. You know, when things happen.
No doubt. Let me tell you what's going to happen, Jay. He's going to catch a preseason game. You know, Justin Herbert's going to get in for a few plays. He's going to look and he's going to go.
Yeah, good or bad.
Yeah, Justin Herbert's going to be the MVP.
Oh, yeah, he'll be in the conversation.
Right? Think about it. Yeah. Kyler Murray's not in there. Lamar Jackson's not in there. Yeah, Joe Burrow's not in there. I mean, you Lamar's know, Derek Carr's not in there.
I love watching Jonathan Derrick Taylor. Henry. Obviously, last year was a year in which he was utilized a ton. I think things are going to change, obviously, having Matt Ryan there this year. I just wonder how repeatable that is for running backs, considering how many running backs we saw get injured last year. It feels like every year we're talking about running backs get injured at a high clip.
Mm-hmm. So, well, every running back is different, as we know,
yeah,
right?
I
we can't
understand.
Put them all in a box. But
not all running backs look the same.
No, they don't. You got them, some big, some wide, some short. You know, they all over the place.
Yes.
But I think when you talk about Jonathan Taylor and Matt Ryan will ease some of the pressure off of Jonathan Taylor, but Jonathan Taylor will ease a lot of pressure off of Matt Ryan because they're going to run the football and play defense. They're not going to get themselves caught in a situation, although Matty Ice can still throw the football with the best of them, but they're not going to ask him to drop back and throw it 45 times a game. At times they caught themselves in situations with Carson Wentz that hurt them late in the year. And Matt Ryan will never do some of the goofy things that we saw Carson Wentz do. But, you know, again, you got four quarterbacks. You slide Jonathan Taylor.
I think Jonathan Taylor's a great pick, Key. I think Jonathan Taylor's especially a great pick because when you think about
Cooper, I could have put Cooper Kupp in there. Yeah. I could have put Aaron Donald in there. I mean, there's a lot of different ways I could have gone.
But let's stay on Jonathan Taylor for a second because one of the reasons I think football guys, Key, like you, look at Matt Ryan on that team and go, ooh, is because he doesn't have to do too much because they're going to run the ball, and then in the moment of truth that you just talked about, you got an offensive line and Matt Ryan and a couple guys to throw to. It's a killer. It's a killer. So that's it's going to put him in. It's going to create high leverage situations, as you always say, in those big games, 2-3 times a game. Hey, Matt Ryan, can you complete this pass? Yeah, no problem.
And what happens in this situation, unlike the NBA, Jay, right, they go to mini camps and they go to OTAs and they get to work with players on the field, and then there'll still be guys out there like a Julio Jones or like a Jarvis Landry or Will Fuller, right, for instance. They'll still be there. And so what happens is the coaches are looking, the general managers look and go, yeah, we don't like what we see. We got to go get another guy. And they'll wind up doing it.
I am very curious, and I know there's still some – you know, concerns for the Colts, but seeing what Matthew Stafford was able to do last year with the Rams coming from Detroit and how the perception of him changed, right, throughout that process. And I'm not saying that the perception of Matt Ryan is anywhere close to what it was from Matthew Stafford, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it feels like does it have the same upside potential for Matt Ryan to go next level at this stage of his career due to the team that he's actually around this season compared to where he was last year in Atlanta?
If he wins a Super Bowl, because he's won an MVP, because he's gotten to a Super Bowl.
That's why I just said they're not comparable.
No.
But I'm saying
they are. I think it's a really good. It's an interesting comparison because it's different than Matt Stafford. But he's won an MVP. He's made it to a Super Bowl. We had a big lead. He's had a lot of excellent seasons. If he wins a Super Bowl, Key, that's going to create a difference in the way people perceive him forever.
Oh, yeah. If he, same thing in Matthew Stafford, though.
Yeah.
You win a Super Bowl, you start talking about, is this guy a Hall of Famer, blah, 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 blah.
But in Matt Ryan's case, the answer is going to be yes. Right?
Yeah,
people are still like, I don't know.
Well, because Matt Stafford still has another six years of football left in him where you're closer to the end with Matt Ryan than you are with Stafford.
Yeah. He's been around longer, so he's done a little more. Yeah. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
Yeah.
Listen, we're brought to you by, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Future of the Grizzlies moving forward. That's what we're about to get into in a matter of moments. Stay tuned. KJM, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.